A reading from Philippians, chapter 4. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia, and I urge Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel. Together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Here ends the reading.
Today, our gospel lesson comes from Matthew in the 22nd chapter, starting at the first verse. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. And the wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, and few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of our Lord today.
Today we hear about a wedding banquet in the gospel. And it makes me think about a wedding I went to a few weeks ago with a young lady and her fiance. And the young lady was one of my very first confirmation classes. And it makes me think about the list of things that unfold. Wedding and falling in love. Thinks about that whole list of all the things that unfold with that. To fall in love, check. Ring, check. Proposal planned, check. Said yes, check. Date for the wedding picked, check. Church, check. Guest list prepared, check. Maid of honor and best man picked, check. Wedding dress and tux, check. Cake, check. Flowers, check. Invitation sent out, check. Pastor, reception hall, DJ, photographer, and videographer, check and triple check. Now, of course, with your photographer and videographer, your incredible day usually gets edited down to a short 3 to 5 minute video that you share on Facebook or Insta so that women everywhere can critique it and men with a flip of a wrist can move past it. Yes, American culture seems obsessed with all things wedding, and we have the TV shows for it. Bridezilla, Say Yes to the Dress, Four Weddings, and My Big Fat American Gypsy Wedding, Cake Boss, Ace of Cakes, and so on. Plus, we have pretty classic movies about weddings as well, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, The Wedding Singer, 27 Dresses, 4 Weddings and a Funeral, and I think the best movie of all time is Father of the Bride. Yes, now I think it's almost 30 years old, The Father of the Bride and its sequels. Yet it always makes me giggle to see the bride, her mom, dad, Steve Martin, and the wedding planner, Martin Short, meet for the first time, and it reminds me that weddings are never a simple affair. Plus, does anyone really know what they are getting themselves into when they start the planning process? Remember the list I just said? Most every one of you have been invited via a wedding invitation before, I'm sure. And that's where we have come into our gospel today, reminding us that we are all invited, and hearing that the kingdom of heaven is being compared to a wedding banquet. So today we hear that. And now the king has sent invitations to elite guests of the day, the religious leaders and the secular rulers he had built relationships with, and not all Jews. Plus, I'm sure they were all good about RSVPing and were expected to show up. But Jesus uses this parable to tell a story within a story. And there are a lot of players in this story. The Father, which we hear is God. The Son is Jesus. The original invitees who fail to listen to God. The slaves or servants or the messengers for God. The troops, evil. Good and bad people, all of God's people. The person not wearing a robe who is classified as unworthy. Each of these have a specific role in the story, in life, and in being part of the kingdom of heaven. So today, the king, or God, sent his servants and or messengers, as I call them, to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Remember those elite select? Remember these original invitees, the supposed insiders who failed to listen to God, and instead let themselves be distracted by the worldly idols, the worldly ways, the things that they want, what is important to them. So the king again sent out his slaves, his messengers, his servants, saying, "Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fattened calves have been slaughtered, and everything has been ready. Come to the wedding banquet. An amazing spread has been set out. The best food, the best cake, the best music, it's all ready. And the messengers have really tried to share this amazing, amazing message of invitation. And I really don't get it. The king, or God, through the messengers, pleads with these invitees, promising the finest food and drink. But they're too busy with their everyday affairs to come to the party, even though they've originally RSVP'd. The king, God, is not important, obviously. But what's interesting, though, is that they are not too busy, it turns out, to make light of the wedding party and then go on their way, one onto his farm, another onto his business, while the rest of them seize the king's messengers and mistreat them and even kill them. This is what I really don't understand. I don't know about you. Now, I would not want to have been one of those servants or messengers of the good news. Everything's ready, they said. They certainly got a mixed reception, or got ignored or rejected or mistreated, and even killed. These were historically Hebrew prophets, and we know that many of them, of course, were mistreated and killed. Yet today, are we willing to stand up and stand strong for delivering our personal faithful messages of Jesus, or even our faith, and the faith that God has given to us and for all people, the good and the bad? This is part of the message, I think, that gets missed in this message today and gets buried in this gospel. This is linked with the very next step in this parable today. Yet, this is where I get a little story whiplash. The king is in rage and he sends his troops out to kill and murder and then burn down the city. And then he says to his messengers, the wedding is ready, but those who were previously invited were not worthy. And this is the turning point of the story. And this is usually where we all check out because of the killing and burning down the city. I know this is hard stuff, but we have to hold on because the message that is trying to be put across, I believe, is that those that were invited and had accepted the invitation, who had RSVP'd to God's invitation to be part of the kingdom of heaven, decided that they would refuse the invitation even after being given another chance. And they ignored, rejected, mistreated, and even killed God's messengers. They refused to be in God's presence, to be part of God's kingdom, and that is a tough thing to hear. Yet this is where the kings and God's grace shows up. Go out into the main streets. The party is still on. Of course it is. And the king orders his messengers to bring anyone and everyone to celebrate, not to discriminate. He did not care about the social standing, the moral character, or the reputation. It's important to note that these new wedding guests are ordinary people, both good and bad. It underscores the idea that salvation isn't given as a reward for good behavior, but rather an unearned, gracious, divine gift, a gift from God. The king totally disrupts all social protocol and invites general street people into the banquet. Yet the invitation is not free for all. It is not a free for all. There are still some expectations. And most likely the king supplies the guests with the proper wedding attire. Yet we hear that one of the guests is speechless when they are caught without no robe on, which means maybe they probably had no good reason. There probably were issues of dishonor that came up, and that they just didn't care, or probably that not wearing a wedding robe would be insulting the king by not accepting his hospitality, his invitation, his welcome, his grace. This person's fate is the same as the elite, of not being worthy. Of course, the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and that makes us shudder. Maybe this is a reminder that sometimes it takes time away, a time of darkness, of weeping and struggling to give thanks for and take seriously the honor of the invitation that God has given us as God's people in this world, and to reimagine where our place is in the kingdom of heaven. The two things we do know about the kingdom of heaven is first, that we get to hang out with the good and bad people. And second, we get to continue to be faithful servants, to be faithful messengers. And what's fun about this is the party never stops, that the wedding banquet continues. We get to hang out with good and bad people, and we are called to open our hearts and minds with great expectation, to hang out with the non-elites, to hang out with all of God's people, the good and the bad. And we are called to be mindful about God's gracious invitation, the invitation for all. As Scripture says, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, slave and free, male and female. Today, we have to remember that includes straight, gay, bi, trans, white, black, Hispanic, indigenous people, Democrat and Republican in our today as we move towards the election. It's not always easy to hang out with all of God's people when we don't always understand each other. But that's why we are all called to be faithful servants and messengers. And we get to keep rearranging the seating chart so we can keep meeting different people. We also need to continually to go out with joy into the main streets and beyond to share the message of standing firm in the Lord, which is in our text today from Philippians. For all who want to hear and to be part of the invitation into the relationship with God through Jesus, through the daily wedding party that we're part of, that is happening right here and right now in the kingdom of heaven, Yet we have to remember, even though we are part of this party and we have received an invitation, that we don't dare take that invitation as an occasion for arrogance. Like it says in the text, for many are called, but few are chosen. We have to remember to put on our robes of humility and joy and thanksgiving. So let's keep this gospel party going. And the invitation of love and grace and welcome going out daily by us who are constant messengers and deliverers of these invitations. Whether they're via cards or whether they're via emails or phone calls or text messages or Facebook posts or Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat conversations or conversations on Zoom or Google Classroom or everything else in between. Because like the Philippians text reminds us today, we are invited to help those who are loyal companions, those that are struggling, those that are co-workers of the gospel, and those that are good and bad to stand firm in the Lord in this way. Like it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to everyone, for the Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So people of God, are you ready to continue to be part of the party and the kingdom of heaven? Check. To share the invitation? Check. Are your masks washed and ready to wear? Check. Is your guest list prepared? Check. Is your phone charged? Check. And are you ready to share the good news? Check. Are you ready to be with all of God's people, to the good and the bad? Check. And are you ready to rejoice? I hope so. Let's check that off. Let us pray. Jesus, help us to keep on doing the things that we have learned and received and heard and seen in you. And may the God of peace be with us all. Thanks be to God. Amen.